Well, happy New Year's Eve. Here's Kelly for you. Good morning, live show again. And we're going to do a replay of yesterday's show because we did a retrospective of news around the Mesilla Valley and the state, national, international, whatever. Mostly national. For some reason, Trump keeps coming up. So we've got a few stories ending up the year, but there's a big, big story here, the flooding from Goliath. It's really, this is one of the most amazing storms I've ever seen. We got hit with part of it. Mississippi River flooding continues in Missouri. 22 killed by historic flooding.
The tremendous amount of rain that we've had in the central part of the country over the last couple of days has led to a lot of scenes like this. This is just one example, the Merrimack River in Missouri that has been flooded over the last little while. There's the Black River and Poplar Bluff. This is all part of the Mississippi River Basin. And initially we had a lot of flash flooding. That's where the creeks and streams rise up and then they go down really quickly. But the water has to go somewhere eventually. And it is going somewhere. Look at how much rain we've had. About 8 to 12 inches, parts of Missouri, down into parts of Oklahoma and Arkansas. And now this is the Mississippi River Basin. And here's what's going on. Basically, all this stuff is flowing into the Mississippi. Here's the Ohio River, flows into the Mississippi, the Missouri River. You've got the Arkansas River out here. And the Mississippi River, it's very swollen right now up along the Illinois-Missouri border. And it's going to get worse farther toward the south as it all drains toward the Gulf of Mexico over the next couple of weeks. So the biggest problems right now, I mentioned, places like St. Louis, down toward Cape Girardeau, Memphis as well. As we get into the next couple of weeks, the biggest problems are going to shift farther south into parts of Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana.
Amazing flooding. Well, we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, Kelly. All right, folks, if you call in and I've got a clip, I cannot hear you, okay? Now, this happens every time. When you call in and I've got a clip playing, I probably can't hear and you can't hear me, but if the phone gets picked up, just wait and I'll take the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Greg.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, I got a question for you. Since you are being the best lawyer that we have here in Las Cruces. Wall Street Journal reports yesterday that the Obama administration has been listening in, eavesdropping on lawmakers, Congress, and Israel.
Yes.
With that being said, is this an impeachable offense? I'll take your answer off the air.
Thanks, Greg. Wow, great question. So I would assume that impeachment, in like any other study in wrongdoing, would encompass actions that are either done or actions that were not taken, so that you would have to have a duty and then fail that duty. So the first question would be, did Obama know about this? Was it somebody that he trusted? Now, there's going to be an immediate response to that. It doesn't matter if he knew about it because it's on his watch. That kind of the George Bush argument, everything that happens on a president's watch is his responsibility. I really don't know enough about the story to comment on it. It seems to me that we have given ourselves the right to listen in and eavesdrop on everybody, anybody. And we've got the capability through all of these different programs and through the NSA to listen around the world. And there has long been the ability to listen into foreign communication through, I'm trying to remember the name of this program that was set up decades ago, but you sometimes see these fields of radar, kind of covered radar dishes, and Echelon, I believe it's called. I just honestly, Greg, and anybody else who's interested, I need to do some study on this. But the question is, does the government have an unlimited right to listen in and to collect data on its citizens? To me, it doesn't, because if it did, we wouldn't have the Fourth Amendment. And so, you know, the Bill of Rights was encompassed long before modern technology, when the only way to communicate was letters. and verbal newspapers and stuff. Let me just read you the Fourth Amendment, then I'm going to hit a little bit of echelon program. Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution provides the rights of the people to be secure in their persons. Think about this: to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath and affirmative. I got to turn the page here. Hold on a second. Let me reread it. Amendment number 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Okay. Look, think about some just general principles out of here. Number one, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, I would argue, is the right to privacy and the right to be able to contain private information against unreasonable searches and seizures. If you take everybody's phone calls, all phone calls, if you take all emails, if you take all texts, if you collect those, that's unreasonable, right? And the reason that you know it's not reasonable, because this amendment, Fourth Amendment, says upon probable cause. Which is, probable cause is a term used in criminal law that gets to the point of whether there is some evidence that someone has committed a crime. You don't have to necessarily know all the details of the crime. And this is an issue that came up with when the jailer, Chris Barella, was arrested. And no warrants shall issue upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. All right, so this focuses on the need for the government to not do unbridled searches and seizures, but only those related to an ongoing case or a case under investigation. And specifically to the effect of exactly what they're looking for. It can't, in other words, be a fishing expedition. So I would say that all of these general programs for taking in information, storing people's information, which their argument is, we don't violate anybody's privacy. All we do is take down a record of things that happened. And if we ever do an investigation on a single person, we've preserved their communication, and then we can do a suit. You know, they must have the world's most powerful computers over in Bluffdale, Utah, where they store all this stuff. So I don't know. Let me think about it. Let me comment on it next week or something. Let me do a little research on it. That's just a background on Echelon. Originally, a code name is now used in global media and in popular culture to describe a signals intelligence SIGINT, SIGINT collection and analysis network operated on behalf of the five signatory nations to the UK-USA security agreement, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom, United States, known as the Five Eyes. The Echelon program was created in the 1960s to monitor the military and diplomatic communications of the Soviet Union and its Eastern Bloc during the Cold War, and was formally established in 1971. By the end of the 20th century, the system referred to as Echelon had allegedly evolved beyond its military and diplomatic origins to also become, quote, a global system for the interception of private and commercial communications. So you could claim at some level Echelon is at the heart of NSA, or at least the technology developed. But they have massive resources that they put into this. And it was to fight the Cold War, but like all of these programs that lived on. All right, so Fourth Amendment. You know what? This is just kind of a thought, but if you knew your amendments inside and out, you'd be doing yourself a great service. And... trying to multitask here. You know, we all need to memorize these things and memorize certain parts of the Declaration and the Constitution, because, I mean, what else do we have to protect ourselves? All right, so we'll take a little break here. There's a great song that I have. It's more of a Christmas song, but it's by the Popes, and it's featuring a lady that's deceased, Christy McCall, but it's called A Fairy Tale of New York. I'll play that singer for the Pogues, has got like the worst teeth in history. He's an Irish guy. Just disgusting. But anyway, he's a legend. Kelly O'Connell, 617. We'll take a little break here and come back and reload. Well, we've got the big story of the day, which is Bill Cosby was arrested, released on $1 million bail, and is being prosecuted for rape. So that is pretty shocking. And they had to file it. I think the statute of limitations, which was in Pennsylvania 12 years, is running out. Now, before I get into that, little bit more weather. Freak storm pushes North Pole 50 degrees above normal to melting point. Is it global warming? Maybe it is. All right. So a powerful winter cyclone, which you might just go ahead and call a hurricane, the same storm that led to two tornado outbreaks in the United States and disastrous river flooding, which is it's something that we've dealt with here, has driven the North Pole to the freezing point this week, 50 degrees above average for this time of the year. From Tuesday evening to Wednesday morning, a mind-boggling pressure drop was recorded in Iceland, 54 millibars in just 18 hours. This triples the criteria for bombogenesis or bomb cyclogenesis, which meteorologists use to describe a rapid intensifying mid-latitude storm. A bomb cyclone is defined as dropping 1 millibar per hour for 24 hours. What happens is these storms, that when they circulate, when they're a hurricane, as the pressure drops, it becomes a vacuum and sucks the water up into it, and that's where you get those incredible seawalls that, you know, the rise in the seas that come in and flood everything. That's amazing. We'll have to keep you posted on that. And consider that the average winter temperature there is around 20 degrees below zero. It's now around 30 degrees. So that's amazing. And there's massive flooding, by the way, in the UK as well. There's also been a lot of flooding over in Asia in various places. Okay, so we've just got some of the most incredible storm stuff. And do you think it's global warming? 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. I hate global warming. I hate to hear about it. All right, so here's a little clip on Cosby for you.
For dozens of allegations that stretch back decades, comedian Bill Cosby was charged today for the first time with sexual assault. William Brangham has the story.
The legendary entertainer exited a black SUV outside a courthouse in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Cosby stands accused of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman named Andrea Constant back in 2004. Prosecutors back then didn't seek charges, citing a lack of evidence. But since then, scores of other women have accused Cosby of similar assaults, all of which he's steadfastly denied. At a press conference earlier today, prosecutor Kevin Steele said Ms. Constant had rejected several earlier sexual advances from Cosby before the alleged attack.
On the evening in question, Mr. Cosby urged her to take pills that he provided to her and to drink wine, the effect of which rendered her unable to move, respond to his advances, and he committed aggravated indecent assault upon her.
For more on the case and the Cosby story, we are joined by Mary Claire Dale of the Associated Press. She's been covering Cosby's legal battles in Pennsylvania. So, Mary Claire Dale, you were in that tiny courtroom in Pennsylvania today. What was it like? What did you see?
Yes, I was. It was a very brief hearing. It was an arraignment in which a district justice, basically a magistrate, told Cosby what the charges were. He did not have the opportunity to enter a plea in Pennsylvania. That's typically done later. Cosby seemed fairly relaxed given the situation. He was smiling occasionally with his lawyer. He did seem a bit unsteady walking. He has some serious vision problems and needed help signing the court papers, the bail papers and such. They had arranged, the bail was set at $1 million and he's posted that and he is free tonight. But it was a brief hearing. Again, quite a lot of media there, of course, although the charges were not announced until this morning at 10 a.m.
So help us understand how we got here. I mean, there have been so many allegations against Mr. Cosby over the years. This current complainant, Ms. Constant, had previously made a complaint back in 2004 against Cosby, but the then prosecutor said there wasn't evidence enough to bring a case. So how did we get to today?
Right. She was one of the first, if not the first, accuser to go to police, and it ended up with a decision by the then Montgomery County prosecutor that he did not have enough evidence to move forward to trial. However, she then filed a civil lawsuit that was settled a year later in 2006, and the Cosby had to give a deposition in that case. It was quite a lengthy deposition given over 4 days in 2005 and 2006. And of course, it was not known to the public what he said at the time. But after that, after he gave his deposition, the case settled. And this year, the Associated Press went to court and tried to unseal some of the sealed documents in the case. And we were successful in getting some filings that had parts of his deposition. And they included his acknowledgement that in the 70s, he had obtained quaaludes with the hope of giving them to women that he hoped to seduce. And that, in addition to a number of other women who had started to come forward, I think that encouraged even more women to come forward. And with that deposition, the prosecutors in Montgomery County today went and took another look at the case and decided today with the announcement that they did now have enough to build a case, a criminal case against Cosby.
So it was Cosby's own words from 10 years ago that got him into trouble today.
That was in part. They were running up against a 12-year statute of limitations on the filing of felony sexual assault cases. Certainly, they do believe that his acknowledgement that he has in the past obtained drugs to use with women, they said that was part of it. Another part is they now believe they can prove that the woman was impaired and could not give consent. In the deposition, Cosby says that he acknowledges that he had a sexual situation with this woman that night in his home near Philadelphia, but he says it was consensual. But prosecutors now believe that with this evidence and his statement in the deposition that he gave her three pills, he says they were Benadryl. The lawyer for Ms. Constant believes they were probably something stronger. So prosecutors feel sure that they can prove in court that she was too impaired that night by both wine and whatever pills he gave her to give any type of consent.
So the prosecutor is arguing that she was basically intoxicated at Mr. Cosby's hand, it seems, and that she couldn't say yes or no. She could not consent to sexual activity.
Exactly. In fact, in the affidavit, the 20-page police affidavit filed today in support of the charges, it says that she was, quote unquote, frozen and semi-paralyzed, moving in and out of consciousness and unable to shout or articulate her, lack of consent, in fact.
Is it clear whether or not that deposition from 10 years ago can be used in this current case against Cosby?
Well, certainly that's one of the many defense motions that we would expect to come during, you know, before the trial plays out at the pretrial stage. I'm sure they will try to have that deposition, which was, again, from a civil lawsuit, ruled inadmissible. Prosecutors, of course, will try to use it. They're building their case somewhat upon his very own words. The other thing that could be of interest is in the trial is whether or not the judge allows any or many of the other accusers to come forward and tell their story as sort of similar act evidence, evidence of Cosby's MO, for instance. There are times when that is permissible under Pennsylvania law. It can't be, it has to be a fairly substantial relationship to the crime that is charged. So it will be up to the judge to determine whether the facts of other accusations or other cases are close enough to be used by prosecutors to show an alleged pattern of behavior. Certainly, that's something the defense will try to throw out.
All right, Mary Claire Davis.
All right. So in other words, Bill Cosby's in a lot of trouble. There's just something that doesn't make any sense to me about this. Here is one of the most popular and well-known and arguably an attractive guy who's a superstar. Why would he have to? I mean, obviously in the kind of culture that we have here, this guy could probably in his prime have seduced tens of thousands of women without any drugs. So why did he go in that direction? If he wanted to do, you know, if he wanted to have relationships outside of his marriage, which he obviously did his entire marriage, apparently, used to hang around in the Playboy Mansion. Why would he have to drug these women? And there was even one of the women who's complaining against him said she was his girlfriend. And one night he drugged her. Totally bizarre. What a sad way to end his life. He's 78 now. And I mean, this is obviously not going to help extend his life. 6:32. Kelly O'Connell, it's about 32 degrees outside. 523-1450, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. We have a strange story coming out of Washington that the report is that the president has unleashed a vast ocean of green cards. So what is the purpose? What is the president's real purpose bringing in immigrants? What is it? We'll be right back.
Now in this, obviously, it has come up.
All right, 6:37, and I wanted to tell you a story that I couldn't really get into yesterday because Mike and Walt and everything, and we were doing the retrospective. All right, so my brother says he's sending me a gift. I sent my brother for his birthday a cake, a rum cake, and with some walnuts on top, and it was kind of like vanilla cake inside. And then the edges were chocolate, and it was, like came out of Kentucky or whatever. I guess he really liked it. Rum cake, you know, it's got rum in it. And he says he's going to send me something for my birthday, which was on Thanksgiving. And, you can, keep the turkey jokes to yourself. And, so anyway, he said, I want to make sure that, you know, you're there. It's very perishable. And I'm like, well, what? There's perishable and then there's very perishable. So anyway, I came home, and this is a couple of days ago. I came home. There's a note on the garage that says, urgent. You have a broken pipe on the side of your house. So I turned off your water, your loving neighbor. And I didn't know who it was. This is maybe a sad commentary on me and also a little bit on the schedule I keep. I mean, I leave very early and I usually come home late. So I don't really don't know my neighbors that well. I know the lady next door. The few interactions I've ever had has given me like the kind of looks usually reserved for Hitler. But I'm not really sure what I did. But so there's this box there too. So I grab the box and I realize it is a live lobster, a creature that I do not have a lot of experience with. And then so I went over and I got a friend of mine to help with the and we called another guy. So anyway, thank God it turned out to be related to the lawn. So there's these pipes that come out of the ground and they've got a siphon, you know, there's like siphon valve that helps keep the pressure and everything. This thing blew off like a cork and there was water coursing across my front yard. So anyway, got that taken care of. And then because it was a live lobster, I brought it over to, and if you're a PETA person, just cover your ears, change the channel. But I brought it over to my friend's house. And this is actually the people that own Tiffany's restaurant are very good friends of mine. So I brought it over there. And Tassos was the guy that helped me with the pipe. Anyway, so put the pot on the boil and stuck it in the water. And, you know, it expired. Unfortunately, there was no priest there to give last rites, but it did not scream, by the way. Took it like a man. And so it's boiling and everything, and we're trying to figure out how many minutes it takes. So anyway, it was about a 2.5-pound lobster and pulled it out. And we didn't have any of these accoutrements, the tools, the claw crackers and the stuff that looks like dental, this dental tools stuff to drag the meat out. So anyway, they gave me this little hammer. And I'm working on it. The hammer was like a regular hammer, only it was had a very short handle and the head was smaller. It was, I don't know, it wasn't for a kid or anything. We, you know, warmed up the butter and everything. And I took this hammer, started whacking on this lobster. And I am telling you, it was just absolute pandemonium. The claws were cracking and the juice was spraying. And there's this white stuff that kind of forms when you're, you know, cooking these things that was just, I mean, it was like there was an explosion in there. And at one point, and Barbara is Tassos' wife, and if you go to Tiffany's, which is a wonderful restaurant, which I highly recommend you go to, across from the mall, across from the Mesilla Valley Mall, to go there for lunch. It's up in this, it's right next door to the giant hotel over there. The Encanto. So anyway, at one point I give this lobster a crack on the claw and this hammer really kind of sinks in there and I hear a scream and I look over and Barbara's got this big blob of basically lobster juice and meat on her face. She was about 5 feet away. So anyway, it was great. It was worth it. All right. So I've got a story here. Let me all right, so don't ever open up Breitbart, by the way, because I open up Breitbart now I can't close, now I can't move anything, which is what always happens with Breitbart. Let's take a break and I'm going to come back and read you a story. It is a heartbreaking story about the government bringing in 100,000 white collar visas every year from foreign nations that the Obama administration is just drafting. It is insane. If you're a fan of the president, 523-1450, how do you, it's just hit after hit. It is blow after blow. Of course he cares about the economy. Of course he cares about unemployed people. But he'll bring in highly trained white-collar workers from across the world to compete for your job, even though we've been in a 10-year recession. Anyway, we'll be back. All right, so We do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, Kelly, it's Tom. I was curious. Did they instantly go on to the welfare rolls when they get here?
That's a great question. I believe that I don't know. That's a great question. I'd have to do a little bit of research. I believe that it was stated that was the intention, that the president had planned to do that. I don't know if it's the actual fact. Let me do some research.
I think there's something with they have an act where when they come over here, there's some sort of refugee act where they are put on some sort of instant assistance. If you want to check into that. Okay, Kelly, bye-bye.
Hey, thanks. Happy New Year, Tom. I don't know. My friend Pete has kind of fallen off the Obama wagon, and which made me feel good, because when I used to argue with him about this stuff, no fact could ever dissuade him from his support of Obama. There was always a spin that he would put on anything that he did. There was always a way to finesse it, to explain it. And some of the explanations were so completely bizarre that I lost respect, honestly. And I swear this is the truth. I sent him a book on logic, in which he claims he never got, but I believe he got it and probably threw it away. But I don't think that if you're from another culture, if you're from another country and you don't know anything about this guy, and you were given the list of things that he tried to do and things that he said, the promises that he made, and then the things that he did, I don't think anybody who had any kind of sophistication would look at the guy and say he means well for this country. Now, he might mean well for the world. He might mean well for the future of America through socialism or something. But the country that we live in, and I want to throw this out to you. This is a vastly important point that I don't think I realized X number of years ago. And it just kind of bloomed in my mind one day. We've got an idea called it representational government, popular sovereignty. The voice of the people is the foundation of legitimate government decision making. And whether the president is right at some level isn't really even the topic, because being right, you know, being right doesn't make everything that you do subsequently correct. But whether he's right or wrong on his beliefs and his stuff, decision-making in general is not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in this idea that you can continually defy the will of the people and have a good government. John Locke said you cannot do that. John Locke said the number one thing, the government represents the people. 659 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. We'll be back to start talking about top 10 lists. Seven oh six, 31st, New Year's Day Eve, New Year's Eve Day, I should say. And there's a story about New Mexico from the dredge, as a matter of fact, digging out. So there is snow all over the state, and people are still digging out. And I talked to somebody, I think it was yesterday, in Lubbock. Maybe it was the night before, you know, but they had said that it was It must have been yesterday. They told me that it was absolutely incredible in love. It was no doubt, and that they had really been shocked. This person grew up in Mexico, so has never really and was living for a while in El Paso, but had never really seen anything like this, and was just kind of utterly shocked by the fury of the weather. So anyway, I want to get into some top 10 stories, but I do want to remind you of one thing here that I had a little note to myself on. Bill of Rights. I'd mentioned the Bill of Rights. Bill of Rights was an add-on to the Constitution that there was an argument between Jefferson and James Madison. Jefferson writes the Declaration, basically. They had help with both these documents. James Madison had the wrote the Constitution, but with a lot of help. There were committees, and there were, you know, brilliant, absolutely brilliant men by the measure of any age. And so they helped, you know, something would be drafted, and then it would be handed off to somebody else who would edit it or would make suggestions. But there was the main drafter of the Declaration is Thomas Jefferson. The main drafter of the Constitution is James Madison, and the Declaration is an introduction to the Constitution, an explanation of why America decided it couldn't be under the yoke of Britain any longer. But anyway, so there was the Bill of Rights, which was established in every state, and Madison said, this stuff is so well established, we don't need to write it down. And Jefferson said, but what about the time when it's not well known, when it's not remembered, when it's not in the air? So they agreed to do it. And Madison studies all of these bills of rights from the different states, the colonies at that time, and takes the cream off the crop and builds the Bill of Rights that we have now. But there was a Bill of Rights before our Bill of Rights, and that was in England. And so where did it come from? The answer is that when they ask king of, or what a member of royalty from the Dutch kingdom to come and be their king because they were dissatisfied with their own king, and he came over, one of the things that they did was demanded that he sign a document which was the Bill of Rights, and this is called the Glorious Revolution, 1689, the British had already been through the Civil War. It was previously described as, at some level, a fight over the nature of the church, but also the nature of the king, his rights and duties and his authority. And so the British king had picked up this idea from the French that the king had an unlimited right to put him in place. And therefore, God had everything that he did, which comes out of a writer originally. Jean writes this work. But so when he said this battle over the authority of the king and what the nature of the church was going to be. So James II was deposed. His daughter Mary II and her husband, William III, Prince of Orange of the Netherlands, comes and takes the throne. James II was rejected because of his Catholicism and his making Catholic the Anglican Church. So, but as a result of this bringing in, the Bill of Rights is brought out, and it's put together by these luminaries like Edward Coke, Lord Coke. Lord Cook, however you want to pronounce it, but it's pronounced Lord Cook, but C-O-K-E. He's considered the greatest common law judge in history. Another guy by the name of John Selden, who was a legal antiquarian, he studied the history of the law. He was probably the first prominent person to do that to the extent that he did. He was supposed to be the most learned man of his time. That's what John Milton said. He was kind of called England's rabbi. He was a Jewish guy, so he had a great knowledge of ancient Israel, and the ancient law, and also he was knowledgeable about well, all tons of stuff. Anyway, so they come up with the Bill of Rights. So if you look at our Bill of Rights and their Bill of Rights, it's obvious where we got ideas from, and it's unfortunate that people are not more aware of that, because this was something that grew over hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, really. So remember that when you go read the Bill of Rights, there's a history, and it was created in the forge of resistance to tyranny. And obviously the Constitution itself is a limitation on the power of the government. It's not just a description for how to run a country or what laws are made out of, but it is an actual limitation on how much power the government can have and how it can use it, where it can apply it. All right, let's get up to some, let's get to a few top 10 stories here. And according to The Hill, which is a political website, top 10 stories, the Pope storming D.C. is one of the big political stories of 2050. John Boehner resigned. Obama rejecting Keystone. The mass shootings that happened, Charleston, etc. Race criminal justice, so the death of, you know, what happened in St. Louis. The Iran nuclear deal. Terror in California. And also terror in Paris and in the Middle East. Gay marriage being legalized, another top 10 story. The fight over the budget is another one. And Donald Trump is probably the number one political story. All right, we'll take a little break here and come back with some more top 10 stories for 2015. 523-1450 if you got your own top 10. You want people to consider, you're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE with Kelly O'Connor. 523-1450. 523-1450, 714, and it's about freezing outside. It's about 32 degrees. We're going to back and hit you with some more top 10s. All right, here's some top 10 sports stories for you. The fight between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather is supposed to be the bout of the century, and turned out to be a laughingstock because Manny Pacquiao was injured. Fantasy sports gets nasty. That's number 9. Number 8, Patriots drama and championship. They won the Super Bowl for the first time in a decade. Successfully rejected and at the NFL's suspension of Brady, and then came back out and had won the AFC East, and Brady is arguably having one of his best years ever. He's leading the league in touchdowns and yards, and he was over 70% completion rate until fairly recently, until he lost all of his receivers. This is story number 7, the top 10 2015 sports stories. First year of the college football playoff. Number 6, American Pharoah wins the Triple Crown. Number 5, FIFA madness, the corruption in FIFA, the soccer body, Sepi Blatter is the name there. The fourth, number 4 story, athletes begin to find their voice. LeBron James wearing I Can't Breathe. Then Black Lives Matter. How stupid. That's not the number 4 story. Number 3, the emergence of Stephen Curry and the Warriors. Unbelievable. Could be championship after championship. One of the greatest players in history. Serena Williams has her signature year as the number 2 story. And all right, number 1 story, USWNT. I don't even know what that is. USW, United States. Anyway, that's the number one story. Captures the nation. What is that? Women's soccer or something? Call me up and laugh at me. Now I'm going to have to Google this stupid thing. Why do you have to Google the number one story to find out what it is? That I'm rejecting the story. Sorry, I'm not even going to look it up. All right. I've got top 10 space stories. The number one story, by definition, is not something you have to Google. Top 10 space stories, 2015 Reader's Choice. Number 10 series. With NASA's Dawn mission arriving at Ceres and New Horizons flying past Pluto, 2015 will forever be known as the year of the dwarf planet. Number 9, The Martian, the movie The Martian. Number 8, Opportunity, the little rover that just won't quit. And it's NASA's Mars Explorer who's going to live forever. Number 7, Hubble turns 25 with its incredible pictures. Number 6, Curiosity, continuing Mars Odyssey. All right. 5, Cassini, the probe Cassini, after a decade of orbiting Saturn, NASA's Cassini mission has started its farewell tour. Number 4, Kepler's alien mega structure. This is the viral story of the year. It's probably a cloud of comets, but the mere hint of a possible alien megastructure orbiting a star 1,500 light years away excited people, but that's not what it is. Number 3, liquid water on Mars, ? Number 2, commercial space. We're getting into the age of commercial space. And NASA's New Horizon flyby of Pluto, number 1 space story. All right, let's take a break here, folks. We'll get some more top 10 stories loaded for you.
You're a bum, you're a punk.
You're an old blood and juggling
there. I'm a settler, tripping that butt. You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're all thought they got it all up.
All right, so it's 7:27. Fly in those friendly skies. Top business stories of 2015. Well, let's see. The number one, China losing steam in its economy. Number one, and this is from CBS News, which means that it might lock on me. The second, please don't freeze up, little computer. Probably I'm pushing my luck here. I should probably just jump and pull the chute here, but see if I can get this to go to the next page. I'm playing with my life here. Okay. Collapse in commodity prices like oil. Second best story. The end of free money is the third best business story of 2015. When the Fed cut short-term interest rates to near zero in December 2008, the American economy was losing hundreds of thousands of jobs a month, and we really haven't recovered from that. The financial system was nearly toppled. Thank you, Obama. The rate cut was an emergency response. No one expected it to last, but it did for 7 years, but now it's over. How touching. All right. Volkswagen caught cheating on their emissions. Heads will roll billions of dollars in penalties. The growth of the gig economy is another top business story. The growth of the ride services Uber ignited a debate about the gig economy, in which people don't hold regular jobs in traditional workplaces, but rather work as some variation or version of a freelancer. Okay, Uber is the taxi, the private taxi service. Mega corporate mergers between companies like, looking for an example here. Well, arch rival Brewers, Budweiser, and Miller Genuine Draft would be joined by a $106 billion deal, Dow Chemical and DuPont, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Come on, CBS. All right. Takata's exploding airbags. Japan's Takata Corporation admitted concealing evidence for years that its airbags could explode. Why didn't they just fix them? All right. One of the best news stories for business, 2015. Coming right up here. Net neutrality. Cable and telecom companies fought it out with regulators over control of the internet. Federal Communications Commission's issued a net neutrality rules designed to bar internet service providers from offering preferential treatments to sites that pay for faster service. Net neutrality is about a lot more than that, by the way. All right, this thing is really starting to freeze up. But I do have right around the corner top Christian news. I need one of those gaming computers that has like super, super duper fast. All right. So this thing is officially locked up. All right. Well, let's take a little break and see if I can unfreeze this thing. Kelly O'Connell, 730 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Be right back. Okay, all right, the top tens that you've been begging for. AP poll, top 10 stories, top 10 stories from the AP poll, Associated Press, top news gathering organization in the world. And by the way, somebody texted me and said that I need, hold on a second here, and I got to find that stupid text phone, by the way. Must have taken a bit long vacation. You need an octa-core processor. It's faster. All right. Number one, Islamic State is the number one story. Well, let me read them from 10 to 1. Europe's migrant crisis only makes it number 10. Number 9, Charleston Church shooting. Number 9, climate change is like the top story every year. Number 8, and the negotiators from 200 countries came together and they partied and they probably created a ton of carbon and they voted on something that doesn't even exist. Number 7, U.S. election campaign. Whoa, including Donald Trump. Number 6, terrorism worries. Number 5, black deaths in encounters with police, Freddie Gray, etc. Black Lives Matter. Number 4, mass shootings. 14 victims in San Bernardino, 9 in Charleston, and others, Oregon shooting and such. Number 3, Paris attacks. Number 2, gay marriage. And it's now a time to tip the hat to the gay evangelist, the Shah of Sodom, our local politician. I won't mention his name. Number one, Islamic State is your top story. ISIS is the top story. Okay, now here's some more top 10 stories for you. Top 10 news stories of 2015. I believe these are health-related stories. So number 10, e-cigarettes may make lungs vulnerable to infection. Number 9, meningitis B vaccine available from September. I assume September is not either a store or a female, but is available from the date of September. UK life expectancy expected to rise to late 80s by 2030. This is a UK top 10. 7, child obesity rates are stabilizing. Number 6, strenuous jogging as bad as doing no exercise. Holy cow. Number 5, drinking plenty of red wine won't help you lose weight, but it may help you forget about being fat. Number 4, e-cigarettes, 95% less harmful than smoking, says report. Number 3, is long-term paracetamol use not as safe as we thought? Number 2, media dementia scare over hay fever and sleep drugs. And number 1, minor ailment scheme. Oh God, another number 1 that I can't even understand. All right, here we're going to do top 10 Christian stories. You believers out there. And this is from Christian Post. And 523-1450. By the way, if you have top 10 stories that are you're just itching to get out, now's the time to really realize your dreams to speak live on the air. Okay, top 10 Christian stories. 10, the Pew polling reports highlighting an increase in no religion identifiers. In other words, America is becoming markedly less Christian and less identified. Even the people who believe in God are not identified with a particular religion or church. Number 9, prosperity gospel critique criticized as Creflo Dollar asks his followers to buy him a new Gulfstream G650 jet, the top private jet in the world, I think, $65 million. He said God wanted him to have it. Number 8, Josh Duggar, Ashley Madison highlighting sex issues in the church. Okay. Number 7, Trump dumps on GOP. And this is, all right, let me reread this. Trump dumps on GOP plans to broaden appeal. Okay. Number 6, transgender issues come to the forefront, including Caitlyn Jenner, Caitlyn Genital, Bruce, no genitals. What is wrong with that guy? All right, now I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a descending spiral of computer failure. But here, I think I've got it here. Number 5, racism concerns grow with acts of violence. This top 10 guy needs a course in writing. All right, here we go. Number 4, intolerant college leftists claim more campuses. They're taking over, folks, and demanding special treatment that they're not be offended. And, all right, here we go. I don't know why a top 10 list takes 3 pages, but anyway. 3, Planned Parenthood videos expose baby parts industry. All right, number 2 coming up here. It's got to be, at the drop of midnight, I want to blow up my computer. Does anybody want to help me? I want to shoot it and set it on fire. All right, so we'll be right back. Let me get this puppy unstuck. We'll be right back. 7:39, Kelly O'Connell. It spontaneously. All right, here's story number 2, which is weirdly on another page, but there was a big write-up on the, don't you think that we should have defunded Planned Parenthood since they're selling parts? Probably making them the ones they can't sell into soup like the Chinese do, fetal soup. Wonder what fetal soups taste like. Number 2, radical Islamic jihad uncontained. And, come right back for the top number 1 Christian story. Kelly O'Connell, 740. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. 523-1450. All right, so we've got more top 10 stories for you. I did the top 10 Hispanic stories. Top 10 Latin American stories. Snowden leak proves NSA spied on Venezuela. That's scary. Number 9, world's most wanted drug lord El Chapo escapes. Number 8, Central American migration continues to soar. Number 7, Brazil suffers a Rio Doce mining disaster. Number 6, Pope Francis visits Latin America. Number 5, mining protests erupt in Peru. Number 4, Central America rises up. And sparked by major multi-million dollar corruption scandals that rock both Central American countries of Guatemala and Honduras. Number 3, right wing reemerges. And so you see that Argentina, the Kirchners are out of power. The husband died. The woman just left power, but her handpicked successor is voted out. Is not voted in. And so the socialist countries that have had a lot of problems in Central America, they were kind of removed. Colombian peace process achieves milestones. The ongoing Colombian peace process between FARC, it's a Marxist guerrilla organization, rebels in the Colombian government reached landmark agreements this year. All right, number one, Cuba and U.S. normalized ties. That is your top 10 for Latin America. Let's see, top 10. All right, I'm just going to throw the dice here. Top 10 weather stories 2015. Let's see what we come up with here. Top 10 most unusual weather events, and this is from weather.com. It doesn't get any more authoritative than weather.com. Let's hope it doesn't lock up on me again. Hurricane news. So this is, I actually think this is a clip, so we'll just let it play here in just a minute. 7:45, by the way, right now. Anyway, what are your New Year's fans? Get together with somebody. Are you going to stay up all night? Going to have some champagne? All right, so I'm going to play this and just hope that it's the same thing that the title claims it is. And this is from the Weather Channel top 10.
2015, it's been a wild ride in the tropics. Remember Typhoon Sutilor? This one was back in August. Such an active season as we come to the end of October. We want to let you know we've already seen 23 Category 4 or 5 storms so far this year. Remember Patricia? This is the first Category 5, luckily, with no depth. This is some video of when it hit Mexico. Now, the Central Pacific has also been quite active with 15 tropical cyclones. How about the U.S.? Well, so far, so good. Florida has not seen a hurricane make landfall in a decade since Hurricane Wilma. Remember that one back in 2005. When is it all over? Well, hurricane season will end November 30th.
All right. So there's, I think, 10 videos there that I'm going to skip, but I do have a better one here. Top 10 stories we talked about. We did talk about the stuff going on in the state, and part of the top 10 that we agreed to yesterday, which is going to be repeated tomorrow, the show is going to be repeated tomorrow. Top 10 included the stuff going on with the county, the jail, the battle between the sheriff, Kiki, and Billy Garrett, the Social Security mess at the city or the county, and the tax raise and stuff. All right, here's from CNN top 10 weather moments of 2015.
The record snow in Boston. The city endured the snowiest winter on record. When it was all said and done, Boston had 110 inches of snow on the ground. Half of it fell in February. Some of it didn't melt until July. Number 9, severe flooding swamps Texas and Oklahoma. This year brought an end to the drought in those states, but it was replaced with massive flooding. Spring brought the first round of rains. Our own Jennifer Gray was in Texas, where one community was hard hit.
Families in Wimberley are waking up on their sixth day waiting for answers. 8 people still missing that were swept away.
The downpours returned in late October and hit San Antonio with as much as 20 inches of rain. Number 8, fires in Indonesia. It was the most expensive weather disaster of the year, with losses totaling $14 billion. The raging fires peaked between July and October, many of them set on purpose and illegally farmers. Smoke and haze from the fires stretch across Southeast Asia. Number 7, a brutal heat wave hit India and Pakistan. From May to July, the scorching temperatures combined with humidity made it feel like over 140 degrees. It was responsible for killing 2,500 people in India alone. In Pakistan, the heat wave was centered over the country's most populated city of Karachi. 6 straight days over 100 degrees. And the heat occurred during the holy month of Ramadan, when Muslims refrain from eating and drinking during daylight hours. Despite top religious figures issuing special exceptions due to the heat, more than 1,200 people died. Number 6, hurricane extremes in the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. Both the eastern and central Pacific saw a record number of Category 3 or higher storms, including Patricia, which became the strongest storm ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere. Patricia packed sustained winds reaching an incredible 200 miles per hour. On the opposite side, the Atlantic quiet again. We have now gone 10 years in a row without a direct landfalling major hurricane. And while the U.S. was scared, the Bahamas was not.
We are 7,000 feet above the northern Bahamas in the center of major Hurricane Joaquin. The storm has been notoriously difficult to predict.
Powerful Hurricane Joaquin pounded that area in late September and early October. The storm sunk El Faro, the cargo ship, claiming all 33 lives on board. Number five, severe flooding devastated parts of South Carolina. A storm system moving through the southeast pulled in moisture from dying Hurricane Joaquin, resulting in record flooding across South Carolina. Up to 20 inches of rain fell in just 2 days. If you do the math on this, that's about 65 billion gallons of water, roughly the amount of water you would see flow over Niagara Falls in a matter of a 10-day period. So you put the state of South Carolina down, the rainfall totals in this region, about 9 inches when you calculate the entire state's average rainfall amount. Number four, the earthquake in Nepal. It was our deadliest disaster of the year. On April 25th, a powerful 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck just 50 miles from Kathmandu, followed by hundreds of aftershocks. More than 8,600 people were killed and 17,000 injured. In the rugged Himalayan terrain, the earthquake triggered massive landslides and avalanches like this one on Mount Everest. Damage across the region was estimated at over $8 billion. Number three, the hottest year on record as a global climate deal is reached in Paris. It was years in the making that the climate summit produced a landmark agreement to fight climate
change. Ridiculous!
World away from fossil fuels and to clean energy. The aim to keep the Earth warming more than 2 degrees Celsius, and hopefully less. The effort, though, is far too late to help us this year. 2015 will easily rank as the hottest year on record across the globe, surpassing last year's record. Number two, the California drought. This historic drought is now in its fourth year, with 97% of California in some type of drought condition. Some communities have even started running out of water. How long have you...
This is somewhat ridiculous because they're getting like incredible amounts of water now. All right, got to fast forward up here to number one.
And the biggest weather story of 2015, El Nino. El Nino is a pronounced warming of the ocean in the Pacific as it bumps into South America. This pattern can change the weather across the entire globe. Hurricane season, heat waves, droughts, fires, floods were all affected by El Nino, not to mention helping 2015 becoming the warmest year on record.
I don't know how this guy got a job announcing. He's so boring. But anyway, all right, so that's your top weather stories. Pardon me if it put you to sleep. All right, got